Let's read together Exodus chapter 7. In this chapter, we have Moses' second encounter with Pharaoh and the first plague. The Nile River turned into blood. Exodus chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them. So they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Show a miracle for yourselves,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent.'" So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone.'" And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. Let's begin our study of Exodus chapter 7 with some background notes. Once again, we read in verse 3 that God would harden Pharaoh's heart. But we also see in verses 3 and 4 the reason why God would harden Pharaoh's heart. Let's read those verses once again. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments." So the plagues of judgment upon Egypt actually brought glory to God, because God was seen as supreme and victorious over all the gods of Egypt. And God brought the plagues on Egypt in such a way that by the time of the Exodus, the Egyptians knew that they were not dealing with freak natural events, but that they were up against the Lord God of Israel. Look again at verse 5. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." In this chapter, when Moses and Aaron confront Pharaoh the second time, they work the miracle under God's direction. Aaron threw down his staff and it became a snake. But when Pharaoh's sorcerers were also able to turn their staffs into snakes, Pharaoh hardened his heart and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron. So now God brings the first plague on Egypt. The Nile and its tributaries and reservoirs of water in Egypt are all turned to blood. Remember, the Nile River was a source of survival in Egypt. The only drinking water available now was underground, and the Egyptians had to dig wells for it. Verse 24. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. Now, when the Egyptian magicians were also able to turn water into blood, Pharaoh once again hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron. Verse 22. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. Now, when it says the magicians of Egypt did the same with their enchantments, they were not able to turn the Nile into blood. It already was blood. But they were able to turn small containers of water into blood. The big question, of course, here is how the sorcerers of Egypt were able to turn their staffs into snakes and containers of water into blood. Was it sleight of hand or illusion, or was it by demonic power? The fact that both verse 11 and verse 22 say that the Egyptian sorcerers used secret arts or enchantments leads us to believe that it was by demonic power that the Egyptian magicians were able to do these miracles. All right, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal teaching point number one, satanic power is directed against God's program. Satanic power is directed against God's program. The names of two of these Egyptian magicians are given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. That's 2 Timothy 3, 8 and 9. This passage is about false teachers and false religious leaders. So we see from this scripture that the sorcerers of Egypt confronting Moses were not just magicians doing counterfeit miracles. They opposed the truth. They were agents of Satan, as all false teachers are. And as tools of Satan, they were part of Satan's strategy to thwart God's plan. All satanic power is directed against God's program. Satan knew that God's program was to preserve the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because it would be through this line that the Redeemer would come. And it would be through this Redeemer that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Genesis chapter 12. And Satan knew that it would be this Redeemer, the seed of the woman, according to Genesis 3:15, that would crush his head. Thus, all of Satan's efforts were directed against the children of Israel and against God's program of preserving them and delivering them out of Egypt. Certainly behind Pharaoh's former edicts to put to death and drown all the male babies of the Hebrews was a satanic plot to overthrow God's program. And now during this time of God's judgment on Egypt with the plagues, Satan would do whatever he could to oppose God's program of delivering his people from Egypt, even counterfeit miracles. Satanic power is directed against God's program. Doctrinal point number two, satanic power is limited under God's authority. Satanic power is limited under God's authority. I love reading verse 12, don't you? The Egyptian magicians threw down their rods and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. I love it. There was no question that the power of the gods of Egypt was inferior to and under the control and authority of the God of the Hebrews. And when it came to the plagues, each of the plagues was directed against one or more of the gods of Egypt. The 10 plagues were not just random, arbitrary bursts of divine power against Egypt. No, they were specifically designed by God to show God's power and authority over the demonic powers that the Egyptians worshipped as gods. Look at what God said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 at the time of the 10th plague. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Notice, against all the gods of Egypt. Satan's power is under God's authority. Remember the story of Job? Satan was able to touch Job only as God allowed. God had a hedge about Job that Satan could not penetrate in any way unless God allowed it. And the same is true for the believer today. 1 John 5:18 says that God protects the believer from the evil one. 1 John 5:18. And James 4:7 says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. James 4:7. There is no doubt that there is a Satan, a real spirit being who is a fallen angel. And there are spirit beings of lower rank called demons, and they are also fallen angels. And there is no doubt that there is real satanic power and demonic power directed against God's program and God's people, not just at the time of the Exodus, but throughout human history, ever since the Garden of Eden. But Satan's power is under God's authority. In fact, Satan is not even in charge of hell, as cartoons would lead you to believe. No, God is in charge of hell, and Satan will be in hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. Don't ever think that Satan can operate with unlimited power. No, Satan's power is limited under God's authority. Now, what about practical application from Exodus chapter 7? Don't think you're over the hill when you're 80. Don't think you're over the hill when you're 80. Look back at verse 7. "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh." Moses and Aaron were both in their 80s, and yet they were still being used of God in a big way. And the same is true today. Don't think you're over the hill when you're 80. But you say they lived longer in those days. So what? God can still use you for his glory when you're in your 80s, even if they did live longer in Bible days. Committed believers in their 80s can be outstanding models of godliness and can be very encouraging to younger believers in their families and churches. You know, it's probably been believers in their 80s that have been the most challenging to me in my life. So if you're a believer in your 80s, be encouraged. Now, you may not have the same level of energy in your 80s that you once had, but don't think you're over the hill when you're 80.